Donalana Kitchen talks about food. Donalana Kitchen talks recipes. Donalana Kitchen talks about lots of other things on
Community Radio.
Welcome to the Donalana Kitchen. My name is Lana Noctical.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
We get together here once a week at the fine studios of KHOI-FM Community Radio here in downtown Ames. Thank you for joining us today. It's spring. We've got daffodils. We got crocus. We got magnolia blossoms booming.
Yes, on Sunday, or was it? Yes, Sunday. Just in one day, they completely opened up. Boom!
One of those absolutely wonderful joys of spring. There's folk out tidying up their lawns, I noticed this weekend. Everybody out there raking and uncovering things and sweeping up the dead leaves, making their frontage look lovely. And I don't know if this is new. Maybe this is new for Easter or new for spring. There is a large purple rooster lawn ornament on 13th Street in Ames that I think deserves a nod.
How large is this?
Well, it's bigger than a rooster. It's about 3 feet tall. And it's very purple, and it's very lovely. And, yeah, there. So it must be spring. Well, we've got a few items from the Donalana Kitchen News Department. Tick-a-tick-tick-a-tick-tick-a-tick-tick-a-tick. That's the ticker tape. Yes, we do have a news department. Donna, what do you have for us today?
Well, we got a good news, bad news, two different manifestations of the same issue, I might say. The good news is that the Storm Lake Times, a well-known newspaper in these parts, it publishes for 3,000 people twice a week. They won a Pulitzer Prize.
Oh, how nice.
I know. So it was... the editorial board of the Storm Lake Times, Iowa's twice weekly newspaper, went after state, federal, and county law officials last year for failing to address nitrate levels in Iowa's waterways. And they won the Pulitzer Prize for it.
Great.
The board said the award was for, quote, editorials fueled by tenacious reporting, impressive expertise, and engaging writing that successfully challenged powerful corporate agricultural interests in Iowa. Now, hold that thought about powerful corporate agricultural interests in Iowa. Okay, the news today that has come through various emails around town is that our legislature, our Republican legislature, which is working on funding today and tomorrow, it's written, the Leopold Center for Sustainable Agriculture will be completely defunded from state monies. If you're interested in water quality in Iowa, Leopold Center has done a lot of the groundbreaking research that does show ways that would mitigate the nitrate and erosion issues, you know, by making buffer zones and things like that that are quite doable. However, the powerful corporate agricultural interests in Iowa are not in favor of this. And since they have an influence in the state legislature, they are rescinding the funding for the Leopold Center if they get away with it. So if you have an interest in changing any of that or being your small personal voice standing up to the powerful corporate agricultural interests in Iowa, please call your senators and legislators today and ask for the continued funding of the Leopold Center for Sustainable Agriculture. There we go.
There. That was a bit of good news and bad news from our news department. We have to kind of keep our eye on what's happening because these are our elected representatives. Make sure
they are
doing the
right thing. Our water. I mean, hello, don't we all want clean water? Wouldn't we all like to be swimming in our rivers and our ponds, which we know we got a problem in this state with water, folks, really.
Yeah, it's time to – I often tell Donna, well, this may be the flails and pitchforks time. Maybe we should get out on the streets.
Get the pitchforks out.
And kind of voice our concern, our concern. I want to let people know that we have a fundraiser for this fine radio station. It is one of the better things that is happening, and it helps us stay in touch. We have much to celebrate in this community. Today, we will talk about some good things. We're going to be talking about a new cafe in town. Well, no, this is not a new cafe. This is a new old cafe, one that has blossomed into a new location and into a new incarnation. And later we'll have a few thoughts about Easter baskets. Donna, introduce our guests.
Well, I have to say, I wish today that we had Smell-O-Rama radio because Liz Jeffrey and Brian Gorman from the Arcadia Cafe, which is in Campus Town, have brought in some boxes of food, and we are going to, like, smack our lips on air and talk about the food. And, boy, does it smell good. So, welcome, Liz and Brian.
Thanks for having us.
Tell us a little bit about where your cafe is, and you've expanded. Tell me about the blossoming into a new place.
Sure. So we have been part of Campus Town now for around 6 years. Our six-year anniversary was this last spring break. We started out in an 1,100-square-foot building with 13 chairs. That 1,100 square feet included our restrooms and our kitchen. Could have almost included our parking lot, but not quite. We knew that that building was coming down, and we needed a new home.
It's a big hole in the ground now where you used to be.
Big hole in the ground. Lots of development happening. Mm-hmm. So we spent about a year scouting locations, and it was so important for us to stay in Campus Town. We just really liked the area. We liked the vibrancy, and it was really important.
And we're used to having you there.
Yes, yes. And so we moved to 116 Welch Avenue. And so if you are all familiar with that area, we are right up the road from the new CVS. And we are across the street from the Fighting Burrito. I assume that's a...
and down the street from the clock tower.
Exactly, exactly. It's just funny that our old building was where the Fighting Burrito originated. And so now they are our across-the-street neighbors. So I always like to point that out.
You guys are tied together, that's right.
A good pairing.
So in this new location, we are now around 2,500 square feet. We
have and a charming 2,500 square feet.
Very charming. We have a very specific sense of style. And I think our builders and architect and everybody, they nailed it. And so with this larger space.
It's light. It's airy. It has a bar.
It has a bar. We have lots of new food offerings. And we also have lovely cafe windows, things I'm really excited about in the upcoming
spring. Yeah, and you said you can open the windows for the good weather.
Exactly. We were never going to have a patio space. The way Welch Avenue is situated, that wasn't going to happen. So openable cafe windows it's the best we could do, and we think it's pretty great.
Well, it's a very interesting establishment because you are, as you started out, basically as a coffee shop and pastries, and Liz is the baker and Brian is the chef. But then, so it's got that very coffee house feel. You go in, grab your coffee, all the good stuff. But then there's a bar, and then the restaurant food, Brian, I'm very happy to say, is substantial and delicious and creative.
Thank you very much.
Tell me a little bit about how you come to food, Brian.
Well, Brian's been around town.
Yeah, I have been. I guess I've started working in restaurants as a teenager and have...
He's barely past a teenager now.
Yeah, 32 years old now, so I guess not that long, but...
It's okay. You got your chops now.
Yeah. And we went to a culinary school together, me and Liz. And after that, I worked around town in several different places, always stayed in contact with Liz. And then we got together and hashed out an idea and figured it out.
Yeah, we always said he was at one of the restaurants. Are we allowed to say restaurants? Mm-hmm. Anyway, he was at Giangelo's up north, and we would always, when my husband and I went, we would always order the special because we knew it was going to be good, and we knew he was there.
Yep.
It's nice to know what restaurateurs go out to eat. Oh, that's kind of like an inside joke.
Oh, boy, do we.
another thing about your remodel. I remember you have a story about getting – you took parts of the old place and put it into the new place. And there's a story about the bar itself, how it got there.
Yeah, so the bar we're very proud of. It was always – other than the teak table, has always been a mainstay of what Arcadia was. And Arcadia means pastoral paradise, so we always try to bring in the trees and the, you know, natural colors. That's something that's very near and dear to us. So this walnut bar top – is actually from 9 milled walnut trees from when 13th and Ontario were put together. And my father-in-law had 9 of those trees milled, and he saved them, and he took them to 3 different states.
Oh, my.
And so when we were opening Arcadia, it was a perfect way to display the whole tree. And we call it a bookend. So it has the live natural edge and then a very beautiful epoxy finish. And we knew we wanted to use it in the new place. And so we actually built the whole place around this bar. And so if you go in there, you'll still see some holes. We're working on it. Somebody tell my husband if you want to help him with some woodworking. We got some projects on the honey-do list.
Well, but here, speaking of her husband, he's curating the cocktails, right?
He is.
So I highly recommend it. If you're just out for a cocktail even, mm-hmm. it's a bar scene.
It
really,
is.
Really interesting cocktails, and I'm a cocktail fan.
Yeah, so. He's spent about the last 2 years really cultivating those flavors and looking into, the pre-prohibition cocktails that have been kind of lost. And so he has a real, he loves the history of it and the flavors, and we're trying to bring some of that back.
Yes, and actually he's encouraged Cyclone Liquors to carry some other bar ingredients. So after I talked to you guys about your bar, I actually went into Cyclone and was able to buy some things that I couldn't find in Iowa before. So
yes,
we're all working on this together here.
As you'll find, we have very specific tastes, and we go a long way to try to curate those tastes, and so does Chef Brian. You know, we have an idea in our head, and we're going to figure out how to do it. And we like to travel, and so whenever we travel, we bring those flavors back, and we try to reproduce them. Ames is not always ready for them, but we're going to give it a go.
It's okay. I'm going to support this better cocktail movement. In fact, probably in the summertime, we'll do a cocktail show.
That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, we will. But we are on our Easter show today, and Liz just opened a box that has
hot cross buns.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Tell us about hot cross buns.
So I had never.
I'm eating one.
Yes, do it. So my manager, Anne Marie, is from the UK, and this is a very popular Easter bread, and I have never actually made them or had them. So this will actually be...
Oh, come on. Didn't you grow up with hot cross buns, one a penny, two a penny, hot cross buns?
I sang it.
Oh. Okay.
This will be on air, the first, consumption. Actually, I tried a little bit on the way over. So this is a spiced, sweetened bread.
You can have bad hot cross buns, but let me tell you, this is very good.
Very
not
good.
Not too sweet. Lovely layer of seasoning. Mm-hmm. Hot cross buns, they're subtle, guys, These are really, really well spiced. Very nice.
So I was looking at the recipe, and I always wander about the internet and figure out what makes sense and what doesn't. And the recipe called for a pastry top, and I didn't understand what that was. And so this morning I asked Anne-Marie, what exactly is that? And the pastry top is what differentiates American hot cross buns for somebody who's never made one and true British hot cross buns.
Oh, goodness.
Pastry top? What do you mean by pastry top?
So she said there is a pie dough or a short cookie crust that you do the X's. It's not supposed to be frosting.
Oh, yours have got frosting on them. Mm-hmm. And in X, the X is for the crust.
The crust.
Yep.
Does that mean this is the American version?
This is the American version because I didn't know any better. But I will. I got a couple days before Easter, so I'm going to try them again the more traditional route, and we will have them for sale. And that's half the reason I opened a bakery is because you just get to try things out, and, usually the outcome's delicious.
I'm American, so I like it like this. I made hot cross buns for Easter last year, too. I used what did I use the recipe from? I can't remember. We'll have to look it up in our show archive. Exactly.
Tell us again what these are flavored with. They're so nice and moist and lovely.
Did you marinate the raisins?
I did not, but I thought about it. I really like rum raisins.
Yeah, and that's traditional in your next... In your next Reception. Iteration, so which they I'll have are, to come in for Easter and buy, right?
That'd be perfect. So they have yellow raisins, the unsulfured golden raisins, I suppose, and they also have currants, which is not something that is used a lot in American cooking, but they're fantastic.
I use them a lot. They're like dried currants, or think of them as miniature raisins.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep, a little tartar, and I always think they're a little funkier. They have just a little something different. So this is a butter
really,
and
really
egg
good.
Enriched bread, and it has lots of spices, so allspice and cinnamon. Mm-hmm. And, they turned out really well, so I'm definitely going to work on
this. Okay, now, if one wants, like a half dozen or something to wake up to on Easter morning, can one put in an advance order and pick them up on like Saturday night or something? Or?
I think we can definitely arrange that. I always take emails. I'm not always at the shop 7 days a week anymore. I've really been working on this.
Oh, good and girl. So but somebody is there. Don't worry.
They will answer the phone and get me a message. And yeah, we could absolutely do pre-orders. I know there aren't a lot of bakeries in town that make them. So definitely an
option.
And
especially not this good, I have to say.
Very good. Oh, another nice thing about your cafe is there's a window into the kitchen, so we can see you guys working. It's right off the end of that really fine bar up there, and you can kind of watch things going on. And I think it's a – when I look into a professional kitchen, I'm always amazed at what I think is, my goodness – how do they get so much food out of such a small space? Brian, do you consider that a small kitchen or a usual? What about this kitchen? Is it a good one?
This is one of the smaller kitchens that I've worked in, for sure. But it has its charms. I always consider
charms.
I always consider a small kitchen kind of a challenge. Usually, trying to feed 300 or 400 people out of it.
Makes you be more creative.
Yeah.
That's true. But anyway, you can see Ryan work. So you've been serving food for a while, and you have something actually right up on your sign, and it's maybe new to Ames, the idea of small plates. Do you want to talk about a small plate?
We do what we consider small plates. In Spanish tapas style, they might be considered medium plates, but I always think of a meal as, why would you eat 50 bites of one thing when you can have 10 bites of five different things, you know?
own heart. All right. Grazing.
So we try to do a menu from all over the world, some Spanish tapas influences, some Northern Africa, Europe, all the way to Southeast Asia.
Tell us some of the things that we would have found or we can find on your menu.
We do from like the Europe area. We do fresh pastas. I try to keep two of them on the menu.
And you
times.
Make them all in house, don't
yes.
you?
Yes. Yep.
None of this out of the box stuff.
Bless you.
We make
you,
everything
bless
from
you.
Scratch. We have things from Southeast Asia that I'm trying to put on the new menu. Going to be a heavily Asia influence.
Nice light spring flavors.
Yeah.
Are we going to get a little heat for the summer too, maybe?
A little bit.
Good.
I do things from Cuba. Today I brought tacos with our mojo pork.
Do pass it over.
Yeah, we can start
I'm ready
with that
for
one.
Lunch. I just had breakfast.
Nothing like watching Donna eat. She does this so good. Oh, how pretty.
Oh, they are gorgeous. Now, tell me what this is, Brian.
These are our mojo pork tacos. Mojo is basically a citrus marinade. Uh-huh. We marinate it overnight in a combination of orange juice, lemon juice, a lot of oregano, cumin, garlic, lots of garlic. And we braise it for...
lots of onions,
6 hours.
Too.
6 hours after that. Yeah. Mm. And then on top is a little slaw of Napa cabbage, red onion. There's some cilantro and lime in the dressing itself as well.
And Liz must have made the tacos.
No, that's the one thing.
That's the one thing that we buy.
Yep.
The tortillas.
Pretty close. I always said we didn't. You know, we don't cure the bacon, and kind of some of those things. But all the other breads, I think we're now up to 5 or 6 breads in the bakery that go on the menu. So a big expanse, and you can tell the difference.
Mm-hmm. That's lovely. The idea of going out for small plates as opposed to going out for your big slab of steak. It's a really fun thing. You can share, you can talk, you can taste, and you can have many different tastes. I've had, this winter, you had something. Oh, gnocchi. I can never pronounce it right. Gnocchi. G-N-O-C-C-H-I.
Gnocchi.
Gnocchi. Is that considered a pasta? A noodle?
I think we consider it a pasta. It's more of a dumpling.
Yeah.
Like a potato dumpling.
Okay.
But I've made it with cheese, so it's more of a cheese dumpling. I've made it with all sorts of different things. This one that we have on the menu now is a sweet potato gnocchi.
Oh, no, that'd be lovely. Yeah. Now, that's what my version of comfort food. It's warm. It's lovely. It usually has lots of butter or things like that on it. I like that a whole lot. That's good.
And did you tell me you're working with who are you getting your eggs from?
Tom.
Yeah.
Remnant Farms.
Remnant Hills Farms. Right.
Yep. He has the most beautiful eggs. And
he does.
Just delivers them. Yeah. So we do our Lomito is a steak sandwich, and it has a sunny side up egg. And that color, it just comes through.
I mean, those are the eggs I eat at home.
Mm-hmm. Local food, local construction, and local mm-hmm. eggs. Oh, mm-hmm. how very mm-hmm. good. Mm-hmm. Very good.
He also has good pork and lamb, by
the way. He is fantastic, yes. He's not quite big enough to supply restaurants yet, but I do eat it at home, and it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. He's getting there. I want to take this opportunity to mention, this is KHOY 89.1. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. This is Tasty Radio for the heart of Iowa. And I want to mention, too, that we are in a fundraising mode here. So here's a word from it's a word to our sponsors, because we want you to be our sponsors. KHOI is observing an anniversary of sorts this month. We're 4¾ years old.
This is Donna Prisgintas reading with her mouth full. It was on August 15th, 2012, that your community radio station went on the air for the first time. And much has happened since we first turned on the transmitter.
Oh, it has. We've featured many wonderful shows and talented programmers and exciting events from all from our historic Pantorium Studios. I don't think anybody else has a radio studio in an old dry cleaners with our Pantorium sign out there. I think it's so lovely.
We especially want to thank our members and supporters who provide the financial funding. That's all of us, guys. That's how we keep the station on the air. So if you're already a member of KHOI, thank you very much for your support.
And if you're not a member yet, get around to it. Yes, now is the time to sign up. Basic memberships are just $55 a year. That's about 15 cents a day, folks, for a local wonderful thing. And you can become a friend of KHOI at $250 a year, or about $20 a month. It is money well spent.
There is a special incentive to give to KHOI right now. Several of our loyal listeners have created a $15,000 challenge grant for this fund drive. That means that every dollar you pledge earns a second dollar from the challenge grant. That means your money is going twice as far to support KHOI.
Join right now by calling the station at 515-292-2878 or go online to khoifm.org and touch the donate button. Magic things happen when you touch the donate button. Or text us at 515-200-7758. And you can wish us a happy and 4¾-year-old birthday. We're almost five, but we're like 4¾. And also, during this pledge drive, we'll be giving away a weather radio to the first person who calls and becomes a member each day. So call in, I think, and do that.
A weather radio.
Yeah, one of those high-techy things to tell you that a tornado is coming.
You don't just stick your head out the window and know what the weather is?
Well, that's what we do. But, yeah. Anyway. Yes. So you can call and ask about that. You can call and become a member. We'd appreciate it. This is a volunteer-driven organization, and we get by with help from the community and help from listeners and actually all the people here, except for our fine engineer and some other wonderful people that organize this. We're all volunteers. They'll let anybody on the radio, believe it or not. If you don't like what's on the radio, come on in and make your darn show.
Yeah.
I'd say that's how we got here. Yes, we did.
So I'm eating pork tacos from Arcadia Restaurant. Brian, first of all, I just got a nice crunch of garlic. Yeah. And so what's the cheese on top?
The cheese is a queso fresco. Just a semi-dry cheese, Mexican cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the texture of a Parmesan.
Yeah.
With a little less
lovely
kick.
A little less salt.
Yeah.
Really, really, really delicious. love our pork.
We are here around the Donalena Kitchen kitchen table with Liz Jeffries and Brian Gorman of Arcadia Cafe, an institution in Campustown, now in new quarters. So they have a new restaurant, a big place for you to sit down, because the other place was a little small, cozy. The new place is quite
lovely. Well, the other place was a coffee shop with pastries, because Liz is a baker, and now they've added Brian. And it's a real full-on restaurant. I want you all to know that it is now a full-on restaurant, right?
Correct.
And with a bar inspired by concoctions from Liz's husband.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, now I'm doing my favorite thing, which is eating. What else do we have, Brian?
We'll do this one next. This is our porchetta sandwich.
More pork.
More pork. Porchetta is a traditional kind of Roman sandwich, usually using the whole pig roasted really low and slow. I adapted these flavors. We just use pork shoulder, but I adapted the flavors from Rome and brought them into.
You have a good Italian background here in your cooking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what's the dressing on these?
The dressing we have on top of the pork, there's a raw fennel slaw. Mm-hmm. Just olive oil, salt, and pepper, and parsley with a red onion and fennel. And then we have a roasted garlic aioli on top of that.
And this is Liz's bread.
It is.
Liz's bread. Yep. Very good.
The infamous, I call it a baguette. I know the French people would absolutely not love that this is a baguette, but it works really, really well for our needs. It's a little bit softer, and it means that you're not going to get those cuts, and you're not going to necessarily get the shattering all over that we sweep up later.
Right.
Yeah,
it makes a very good sandwich bread.
Let's discuss French bread, and the difference, like you say, is the crustiness.
Mm-hmm.
And so why would this not be a – I think it's got a nice crusty. It is not a traditional baguette?
It is. You know, it just uses flour, water, salt. What did I miss? Yeast. It is a quick method, so we don't use any poulaches or long ferments. But it's something that if Brian says it's going to be a busy day, I can have from beginning to end in about 2.5 hours. I can make you fresh bread. And
oh,
so
my,
that's
lovely.
Kind of a different. A lot of the French baguettes do have a poulage.
Mm-hmm. Yes, a long-term rising.
Correct,
sort of process,
kind of develops, breaks down some of the gluten, develops some of the flavors, and you'll
see. That's P-O-U-L-I-S-H, poulage.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was foolish. I'm sorry. Poulage.
Okay. And so you'll notice our grain is a little bit finer grain, a little bit more consistent. Mm-hmm. A traditional French baguette will have a lot of big open holes, and it will also have a much bigger crust in the ratio.
But this really, really works well
Correct.
For sandwiches.
Correct. So I call it a baguette. It is a white bread, an Italian loaf or a white bread loaf. It's kind of been our mainstay since we opened.
Very good.
What time do you get up in the morning to start all this baking?
I am usually in by about 5:15, 5:30.
That's very reasonable for a
it
baker.
Is.
Good for you.
That was always, a couple things I was chatting with Brian. When I own my own place, I get to make my own schedule, and I get a parking spot. And I am known as the lazy baker because, to me, it's important to live your life. This is for this to be sustainable. It needs to be the whole package. And if I were to get in at 2 or 3 in the morning, I wouldn't have friends. I wouldn't see my husband or my new dog. You know, it's just not worth it for my croissants to be out at 6 a.m., Most people understand, and if they don't, then there are a lot of other opportunities for them.
They can eat day-old bread if they come in at 6
a.m. They can come in at 8:30 or, in the evening, and that's important.
Sounds very good. It speaks to me, for both of you, a little bit about the kind of response that you've had. What have you noticed about the comments that your clients have come in, and then people sit down and say, give me some food, and what do you get in response?
So it has been a little bit of a retraining for the people who came in,
That's
to know
true.
That it is a full restaurant and that we have increased our offerings. And the new location, expanded hours, Brian having an opportunity to bring him on with the Arcadia team, it's such a good match. And so retraining some of our current customers, I think they're fitting in nicely. I don't know, have you heard?
I think one of the things that I've noticed is on every menu, there's certain things that you put on as kind of safety items.
Ah.
If they don't go for this, they'll go for this.
I wonder about that, yes. Okay.
But I've noticed that a lot of our more daring options have been selling better than the safety items.
Oh.
Things like the octopus. We sell more octopus than ever.
I saw it on my menu and I said, Brian, I respect you as a chef, but Ames, Iowa, Campus Town, how much octopus do you think you can honestly sell?
Actually, I think this is a wonderful new thing. Donna and I were talking earlier about Central Iowa. How much change can we handle? And I think we're up for it. What's nice, this is a lot of university-based business that you're getting. So, and people are asking for octopus. How wonderful.
How are you preparing the octopus?
We do a slow braise on it to break down all the collagen. And then we grill it after that.
And the seasoning?
Seasoning, we do a – well, we just do salt and pepper on the actual octopus, but we also serve it with our patatas bravas, which are – technically brined potatoes. We brine them with rosemary, thyme, garlic.
All right. Talk about brining a potato.
It's a new concept.
The details.
That sounds great.
What we do is I kind of make a brine is basically a water and salt sugar solution. Usually you do it with proteins. I take potatoes and throw them in there, let them sit, and then cook them just like I boil them and then fry them after that.
How long do you let the potatoes sit in the brine?
About a half hour.
Oh, really? I have never heard of that.
And then you steam cook them at?
Just boiled, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Do you boil them in the brine?
Yep.
Brined potatoes.
Yeah, it ends
up
being
a... You heard it first in Ames, Iowa here.
Ends up being a potato that you don't need to season afterwards, you know?
That's a really good idea. Would you add – no, you wouldn't boil it with other herbs in the water. You would just probably do that with the salt, right?
Well, you can put whatever you want in your
brine.
The
brine has herbs.
Yep.
Oh, it does have herbs in it. Okay.
Herbs and black pepper.
What herbs, Brian?
Rosemary, thyme, bay leaves.
Oh, excellent.
And some other ones.
Okay. And this is good.
Are you calling it octopus or pulpo?
Pulpo is the Italian word for – octopus.
Yes. Sounds more acceptable, right?
Does it look like octopus on the plate?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, that's one dish. I mean, I usually try everything, but I eat it now with relish.
I'm going to dare you.
No. I eat it now, but when I first ran across octopus, it's got the little, and they're round, and they're kind of suckery, and boy. But
they're chopped into pieces.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But people in Central Iowa can try new things. What a fine opportunity. Liz, you mentioned the name of your restaurant is called Arcadia, and Arcadia means?
Pastoral Paradise.
Oh, how nice.
Yes.
Arcadia.
Yeah. People always ask about the name, and we have, one of the main reasons. Well, we have five. It's the back of our T-shirt. We'll have to get those guys reprinted. Pastoral Paradise. It is a play by Tom Stoppard, which is my husband's favorite modern-day playwright. He's still living out of the UK. We like a lot of the wood-themed Pan. The god Pan is from Arcadia, so we thought that was pretty cool. Paradise.
Oh, it has a lot of
paradise
history behind that.
And it starts with an A. So for those of you who still look up businesses in our alphabetical yellow pages, should find us first.
How clever.
A fine businesswoman right here talking about a fine restaurant. So what are some other good yummies that we're talking about?
Oh, I have a question. Every time I go in, I order the pickle plate, okay?
Oh, all right.
The pickle plate. And there's usually four items on it?
We usually try to keep about four or five.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you get this little elongated platter. And, last time I was there, I had a sort of not hard-boiled, kind of hard-poached pickled egg.
Mm-hmm.
Really good. Really, really, really good. So I said to him, Brian, how do you pickle all of these things so perfectly? And he said, sous vide.
I do.
So
what is?
All right, Brian, tell us what sous vide is, and then I'm going to launch into this, okay?
All right. Well, sous vide is a cooking technique. Sous vide is French for under vacuum. Mm-hmm. We don't vacuum CLRs, but we put them in the jars like you would when you're canning in a pressure cooker.
Oh, you're doing yours in jars?
Yep.
Oh, goody, goody. But we're on the same track. All right,
yeah,
go for it.
We put them in the water, and we use a – it's called an immersion circulator. It's a little machine that heats water.
It heats and it makes –
circulates.
So
yeah.
That everything in the water bath is very, very specific.
Yep.
The trick is you can control the temperature to the nth degree.
Yep. And it's we do it all at exactly 140 degrees for about 3 hours, and it pasteurizes it and – seals it.
So how did you? But the eggs you can just put right in the shell, right?
You can if you'd like. The way we do them with the pink outside is we peel them and pickle them with a beet.
They're ready hard boiled, obviously.
Yeah.
Did you boil them in the immersion blender to get them just exactly that texture?
No, that one we did on the stove. That's another. We could do them in the immersion circulator
Kudos,
as well.
Man. That was perfect. It is not easy to do. All right.
It's not easy.
Well, you have to pay attention, you know. It's not your everyday hard-boiled egg.
Spell that sous vide process. Spell it.
S-O-U-S and then V-I-D-E?
S-O-U-S.
V-I-D-E. Is that right?
Yep.
Right. So for years, me being the champion of home cooking and all the old-fashioned virtuous techniques and tradition. And so along comes a whole kind of school of cooking. It started in Spain with, what's the chef's?
El Bulli, right?
El Bulli, mm-hmm. Right. Highly mechanized, very, I call it the boy toy school of cooking, right?
Molecular gastronomy.
Molecular gastronomy. And I'm like going poo, 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 poo all the way along, you know. And sous vide is a very important part of that. And my initial, well, I have to say, first of all, it used to be a very expensive machine. So, you know, yeah. I'm not going to have one in my kitchen at home. However, in the last 10 years, they have now made all these, like you can go on Amazon, for example, and order a sous vide immersion
circulator
for about $100.
Oh,
I mean,
really?
It's within yeah. reach. Yeah. And, you know, so now home cooks are doing it, and my main objection has always been that initially, at least, because it's vacuum-packed, a lot of sous vide happened in plastic bags. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, I am not cooking my food in plastic. I have, you know, plastic migrates. That's where you get, is it BPH?
BPA? BPA?
BPA. BPA. And other chemicals. You know, we just don't know. Plastics are notoriously, you know, I mean, like, for example, we had the Teflon debacle, where people cooked with Teflon for years and find out because it's a chemical plastic coating, you know, it leaches into your food. Hello, this is not good. So me, I'm not cooking in the plastic bags. So I love these pickles. And Brian is going, well, I do them in the sous vide machine. And I run home and I go hacking sous vide, right? And I've discovered two things, which you've already said. You can pack them in canning jars.
Mm-hmm.
And eliminate the plastic, right? You just yep. How do you do that? You just fill it up to the top?
Yeah, just like you would in a pressure canning. Cooker or mm-hmm. anything like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And the other option is, and I don't know if you have done this yet, you can order silicone pouches. Have you worked with that yet?
No,
they have them on Amazon. I looked it all up. But obviously that's a reusable, and silicone does not migrate into your food. So I might have to come and look over your shoulder at your sous vide machine, but you know
no
what?
Problem.
Old dog could learn a new trick here.
Let's knock on the fishbowl window.
Okay, yeah. Okay, because the pickles are really, really good.
Well, very good. Very
what
good.
What else are you sous viding?
Right now, that's it.
Okay.
That's the only thing we use it for. That we serve. I always. When I have spare time, I play around with it all the time.
Oh, I'm so glad.
I could run over once a day and eat the pickle plate, I have to say. They're really, it's always a different thing, very innovative seasonings, and the egg knocked my, I mean, I love pickled eggs. And this was unlike any pickled egg that I have ever managed at home.
What a good, that sounds really, like it'd really be good with the beer.
Mm-hmm. Be good with anything. Be good for Easter brunch. What about Easter brunch?
It would be. So brunch is something that is new to the Arcadia menu since we've opened in this new location. And so we are open Sunday. We open at 9 o'clock and we serve until 3. And so with this brunch, you have the traditional pastries that I make each morning. So we have our scones.
And you'll have hot crust buns.
We'll have hot crust buns, croissants, almond croissants, chocolate croissants, all of those opportunities, all of our regular desserts. And then Chef has made a great selection. If you want to talk a little bit about those things, it's totally different than what's on our normal menu.
We change over the menu every Sunday. We do things, sweet potato waffles with our blueberry butter. That's a pretty popular one. We do pear and cardamom pancakes. We tried to do traditional brunch things, but put our little twist on there.
Croque madame, I have to say. So any way we can use more croissants.
I had the croque madame last Sunday.
Okay. There's croque monsieur and there's croque madame. Okay, correct. There must be a difference.
There is. Do you want to guess?
Yeah. Well, I have no idea. I think maybe one would be like, I don't know, had earrings on them or something. I don't know. What? Don't tell me. I have no idea.
Croque madame has a sunny side up egg on it. And then put a Mornay sauce, cheese sauce over top.
Oh, lovely.
And so it's a croissant and
ham, Gruyere, and Mornay sauce.
And
egg.
Yeah, so the croissants we make are pretty awesome. We used to hand roll them back in the day, and I said, I can't do this.
I was almost afraid to ask you how you're managing your croissants.
So I'm a big fan of eBay and used equipment. My Hobart mixer came with a thing that said, one on ship, you know, bolt to deck. So it is definitely from the 1960s, 1950s, 30-quart mixer. We actually got our sheeter from a pizza place in Dubuque.
Huh?
It's the Shot Tower Pizza.
Okay, but tell us what a sheeter is.
A sheeter. So it is.
It's a really nice tool.
A really nice roller, so I don't have to roll out the dough. So what makes the croissant awesome is the lamination. So it is butter and dough.
Lamination is you roll the pastry really, really, really thin, and then you put the butter on, then you roll some more really, really, really thin. So it's laminated in the sense that it's piles of butter and dough and rolled together.
Correct. And so the sheeting allows me to do it much faster, which keeps that butter from melting, which gives me much better layers. And then I can make, 50 in the time it would take me to make 10.
Oh, bless you.
And that's very important.
Well, I think it's amazing that you once made them by hand. But once you do that, that gives you such a different understanding of the technique itself.
It does.
It's very good training.
And I taught a couple semesters at DMAC, and DMAC in Ankeny has a sheeter. DMAC at the Hunziker Center does not. And so having my high school students create laminated dough was something to see, and they also appreciated it more.
Yeah.
Well, I do think it's a really good educational experience.
It is.
Now, that is really old school.
It is.
That's the way we used to do it.
That's a lovely thing. Mm-hmm. You're listening to KHOI 89.1 FM. Are you hungry yet? Oh, my. We're talking about good things. Croissants. Very good. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. You can find out more about the Donna Lana Kitchen at KHOIFM.org. We've got a website there of all the shows. There are a lot of good shows that are produced here, including this fine show. The Donna Lana Kitchen has 3.5 or 3 a little bit more years of archives.
So I feel like we're really cooking today.
Donna.
Sorry, I couldn't resist that one.
Yeah. So if you want to find out more about us, there's a picture of Donna and I. We've got a recipe page. And you can find any old show. If you just can't get enough of us, you can go there and hunt up an archive of all the past shows. And this show, we normally are on live at noon, live at this radio station, and we are usually repeated at 7 o'clock in the evening, but since this is our pledge week, there will be a special presentation here in the studio, and we are being preempted, but for a very good reason. There will be a spring fun drive, Pantorium Session concert here. Come and join us. That's 410 Douglas Avenue, downtown Ames, under the famed Pantorium sign. find our studio. And there'll be a lovely concert by Tres Hombres. That's Larry Red Stoutenberg, Tim Eggert, and Steve Carter, 7 p.m. show. And it's broadcast. And so show up early. If you show up after 7, use the side door and be discreet. Be discreet. But do come. Do come. Yes. We're back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. And that was marimba music. Yes, it was, by Ames composer, fine percussionist Matthew Coley. Lots of good things happen in this community. Let's talk a little bit about Easter baskets. Yes, we should. Easter baskets and there should be colored eggs and chocolate and that green grassy stuff. And I want to mention... Yes, this is Gene Autry singing. Donna was waiting all hour.
I've been waiting all day for Gene Autry singing the Easter songs.
Yes. Anyway, in honor of Easter songs, I want to make a shout out to a Easter basket filler that maybe for some folks it just wouldn't be Easter without Marshmallow Peeps. Marshmallow Peeps, yes. And here we are in the studio.
I'm sorry, Lana, but I'm going for the hot cross buns.
That's true. But some people like the Peeps once a year. Once upon a time, there was a candy manufacturer in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, a Russian immigrant named Sam Born. He lived until 1959. At the beginning of this last century, he invented Peeps. And it was a painstaking handmade process originally. So those little handmade chicks were really quite a delicacy. And his name was Sam Born. He called his candies Just Born Chicks. Very good. Anyway, they got real popular. And along about 1953, he bought the Rota Candy Company. And Peeps have hit the big time, got automated, and are going crazy. So enjoy your Peeps.
I have noticed that on some of the food sites, there have been recipes for making your own flavored Peeps. It's basically a marshmallow recipe.
Yeah.
It can be done.
Marshmallow, corn syrup, and gelatin. Yum. And people get into Peeps. Matter of fact, this April, there were several internet and Twitter postings, a big discussion about the outrage caused by Peeps being used as a pizza topping. So, I think we're pushing it there.
But, you know, I'm not into dessert pizza, so.
Okay, we're pushing it there. We're back to, away from the ridiculous, back to the sublime. Let's talk to the Arcadia Cafe people.
All right, Brian's
some more.
Got one more thing for us to taste.
I do, I have one more. This one is not on the menu yet, so it's kind of a sneak preview.
Preview.
We're calling this one a Vietnamese sunbathing shrimp.
Vietnamese sunbathing shrimp. Okay, so the noodles are...
This is a rice noodle with served cold with a bean sprouts, cilantro, and mint. And the dressing on there is called... It's a Vietnamese condiment called Ngoc Cham.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically fish sauce, sugar, lime juice, and garlic, and chilies.
And shrimpies.
And the shrimp are glazed in a spicy, sweet... Fresno chili sauce that we...
Ooh.
That gives it the red color.
Lana,
that's
the shrimp.
The sunbathing.
Mm-hmm. You go after it just like I did. He asked me if I wanted chopsticks, and I said, no, I'll just go right
I
in.
I brought chopsticks just in case.
Fingers.
You know.
And then I wipe my hands on my dress, you know. I mean, well, you dress very chefy, right? I mean, usually I have a towel or an apron, so I've gotten so used to wiping on the...
Terrible. I always wipe my fingers on my dress.
It's terrible.
You should. That's great.
Oh, this is delicious. Well, I look forward to your summer Asian specials.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this will be on our next next menu, probably the week after Easter.
Mm. All right, guys. Good to have you with a new restaurant possibility in Ames.
Mm-mm. This is lovely. Thank you for being with us today. And in honor of our fundraiser, Reek, here, you can talk directly.
You get to read the fundraiser pitch.
You can read the fundraiser pitch.
Is it the whole thing?
This is Liz and Brian.
So it's membership week at KHOI, and we're reaching out to listeners who haven't yet become members of this community radio station. Currently, about 400 folks are contributing members to KHOI, but our broadcast signal reaches nearly 400,000 people in central Iowa. We'd like to close that gap by adding you to our family right now. How do you know if you should join KHOI's family member or member supporters? If you listen to KHOI, or if KHOI is one of the stations you listen to every day, or if KHOI is your favorite radio station, then you should become a member of the KHOI family.
Or if you listen to Donalana Kitchen.
Yes.
Or if you patronize Arcadia Cafe.
Very good.
Okay.
We are looking for 25 new members during this pledge drive. It's easy to join. You can go to our website, khoifm.org, and press the donate button. Or you can use your smartphone to text 515-200-7758. Or you can call us at 515-292-2878, and a friendly volunteer will take you through the steps.
Here we go.
Basic memberships start at $55, about 15 cents a day. Or if you can donate $100 a year for your membership, or even better, become one of our special friends of KHOI who donate $250 or more to lay a solid foundation for paying for operations. You pledge whatever is right for you. And right now, thanks to generous donors who create a $15,000 challenge grant, every dollar you pledge will mean $2 for KHOI.
If you are a new member and would like a thank you gift, please stop by the station to pick up either a KHOI t-shirt, I don't see it, or a KHOI mug.
Oh, they're here someplace. Yes, they are.
Call 515-292-2878. Text 515-200-7758 or pledge securely online at khoifm.org. Become a member of KHOI now. You'll feel good knowing you've done the right thing.
It is, too. This radio station is really a local treasure. Having the ability to have a non-commercial, locally owned, listener-owned radio station is really a special thing. We should learn to talk to each other more. We should learn to listen to each other more. It's part of being a strong and healthy community.
And we should eat with each other more. Today we've been featuring a local business, two fine young folks, I guess three with your husband, who are the proprietors of this new restaurant, Arcadia, in Campus Town. Yummy, yummy food, wonderful pastries and baking, and the coffee isn't too bad either.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
No.
So thank you to our guests, Liz Jeffries and Brian Gorman. You've been listening to the Donalana Kitchen. We come to you on this fine radio station every Tuesday at noon, repeated Tuesday at 7 p.m., except for tonight. Come to the studio for a live concert. You can find us at khoifm.org. That's the website. Find out more about this radio station. You've heard music today by Matthew Coley. He is a local percussionist, and we'll go out with the track Concerto Rustico, featuring Matthew Coley playing with a stringed orchestra. This does go on and on. It's quite nice. He's a wonderful person to listen to and actually to watch. And we also had Gene Autry singing Here Comes Peter Cottontail, because it is that time of year, and don't OD.
Yeah, it's the full, well, the full moon is
it
kind
is
of right
too.
About now. It's
it
the
is.
Pink, the
it
pink
is.
Moon.
It is.
So called by the Native Americans for the pink flowers. That the moon is not pink, guys, but the pink flowers start. So this is called the pink moon.
Right. So all you moon watchers and lunar society folk
yes,
out there.
Yes, all you lunatics.
Yes, enjoy yourselves. My name is Lana Noctico.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
We've had Fine Engineering by Evan Taylor. Eat good food and enjoy life.